Welcome to Soul in the City, honest conversations that activate, awaken, and inspire. I'm your host, Catherine Gillies, life and success coach, conscious consultant, and soul purpose guide. I'm really excited that you're here with me. Welcome. Hey guys, and welcome back to episode 3 of Soul in the City. I'm really excited for our Pisces season guest. Today, I'm speaking with Naomi Simpson, Australian entrepreneur, blogger, speaker, business investor, founder of Red Balloon, co-founder of the Big Red Group, and so much more. And most importantly, Naomi's my old boss. She is fast-paced, big vision, and a force field of energy. And working alongside of her was a real trip. Every day was different. And that's really what is so invigorating and exciting about Naomi's life. She is a Pisces, so constantly on the go, always evolving, and not looking to slow down anytime soon. So I really think that you are going to enjoy this conversation, and I hope you get to know a side of Naomi that perhaps you may not have expected, you hadn't seen on TV or experienced before, and one that I had a lot of fun with during my time working with her. So here we go.
For the people who are going to be listening, who probably know who you are, who don't know who I am, I used to work for Naomi. She was my last boss that I had, and we worked together for 18
months. And I was very bossy.
I love that about you, though. I love people who know what they want and who are authentically who they are. So I feel like we got along pretty well. And you know that I'm into all the spiritual stuff, and I brought that into the office.
And I want to talk about that. Mercury went into retrograde yesterday. Don't you think I knew? Yeah.
I knew you would know.
It was Monday.
I want to get into that. But first, before we kick off, how are you feeling today?
I'm fabulous. I'm sleeping. And sleep is so good. And I went for a walk in the sunshine this morning with the dog. And then I caught the ferry to work. What's there not to love about life?
There's lots to love about life. And you've got so much going on. So with everything that's going on for you, how if I ask you a question, who is Naomi? What's your answer to that?
Who is Naomi? Naomi is very much herself. She has a great sense of humour. She giggles a lot. In fact, it's turned into an old lady cackle, which I'm quite proud of as my voice kind of ages a little bit. And I'm very much myself. I do see the positive in things. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with how much is going on. And then I say, well, what do I want for myself? And then I help navigate that. My purpose does guide me. Shifting the way people experience life, that helps me when I'm making choices about the audiences that I am with or the podcasts that I do or whatever. It really helps guide me what will give me my greatest legacy, my greatest return on my time invested. Who will I impact the most? So I have guide posts, my beliefs, which really drive me.
Well, I like that. I'm just thinking back to how we first met. And do you remember how we first met?
No. Tell me. I can't remember. I will remember.
You will. I came to your house.
Oh, yes. That's right. That was a bit odd, wasn't it? That was before. No, only in the sense of it was quite intimate, really. And that would have been just on 3 years ago. And that was before we had the Big Red Group.
Yeah. So I was hired to work for you, but you didn't actually hire me. Somebody else hired me, and it kind of came across really like a universal gift in that moment for me. And it was sort of unexpected. And then you were in Fiji. I remember this. And Luke, who was working for you, hired me, and I had to come and meet you at your house before we started the next day. I think you flew in from Fiji. I came to your house and was like, hello, we're going to start working together.
Yes, nobody lets me do any interviews, that's for sure.
And so, yeah, I think that really guided our relationship on how I view it anyway, because it was quite intimate from the moment we met, and I kind of got to see the whole of you from the get-go, which I think kind of changes the game for a lot of people. I can imagine that's pretty unusual for employees to be coming to your house to say hi first.
Very much so. I mean, it would never happen now. I shouldn't say it would never happen now, but A, I'm not involved with recruitment. But B, yeah, I actually don't have anybody working directly with me. I have a non-executive director role. So, yeah, that level of intimacy was unusual, really. Yeah, you're right.
It was cool because I got to know you. I mean, we worked together so closely for 18 months. I was your digital content manager and we hung out a lot and I got to see the behind the scenes of your life, which was really fun, fast paced, exciting. Every day was different, which was really...
Variety. Like, yeah.
Variety is the spice of life. And that was really fun. It was like a roller coaster working for you, like, you know, never knowing what day's different, always really fun. But the cool thing that we did, and there's part of you that I found you were quite routine in the sense that you allowed me to be me, and being me is being quite spiritual. And I would come in and I would tell everyone when Mercury was retrograde. You already knew when that was because you're into that. But I remember, I used to pull cards every morning. So we would pull a card at the desk and it was kind of like a grounding moment for our little team to kind of get centered for the day and then write our goals or to do for the day, which was really nice. So I wanted
to create connection as well. It was about building team.
Yes, exactly. And I heard this quote about JP Morgan, and I don't know if you've heard it before, but I heard that he was scheduled to go on the Titanic, but his astrologer pulled him last minute and said not to go. And so he didn't go on it. And then he like lived another year or something like this. So, and then he was famously quoted saying that millionaires don't have astrologers, billionaires do.
Ah.
Have you heard that before?
No, but that's kind of cool. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Look, my thoughts on it is everybody finds their own path and people believe in all sorts of different things. But I do think that some of us were given gifts, and if we don't listen to them, then everybody's given gifts. But one is sometimes people don't hear them or they're unable to access them for any reason. It might be financial, it might be commitments. And I think also with time and evolution, when you're working less on the activity of work, you begin to think more about the purpose of work. And part of that is about how people connect. So one of my strengths is about connection. I believe we're all connected somehow. There is an energy that combines us as human beings, but also there's an energy that combines all living species on the planet. And so, therefore, whether it's astrology or whether it's kinesiology or Reiki, it doesn't really matter about the belief systems. It's actually what works for you. And other people, it's spirituality or it's religion or it's fine. Everything is absolutely fine and the way it's supposed to be. And one thing I do say about astrology, though, I love reading those funny ones in the paper, but just remember they're written for basically 12% of the population and they're generalist. And what was very insightful for me was when I had astrology readings done for my kids for the exact moment, place of their birth, and they had their own astrology readings. And then I did an astrology reading for Stuart and I, you know, the gorgeous Stuart, my husband. And when the person who did that, she said, "I've never seen a more connected couple in all of the years that I've done that, and look at us, we are just, you know." So that I do have a belief that, you know, but so I don't believe in the astrology readings in the paper. I believe that they're written for a generalist, but you know, if you take the time to really do it properly and understand, there can be some real insights and discovery about yourself and who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you touched on Stu because I do want to talk about love and Stu a little bit later. But I've got you on because you're a Pisces and you're my Pisces guest. And do you relate to that? Like, do you innately feel like a Piscean?
Look, I believe so. You know, if you think about the traits. I'm actually right on the cusp, and mm-hmm. my mother would argue that I'm not a pure Piscean. She would say, oh, I don't know. But being a Piscean has served me well, and I do like the flow, and I do like the energy of a Piscean. I do like the positivity of a Piscean. So I think I do exemplify Piscean traits for sure. But occasionally, maybe I bring in a few others.
Yeah, because I remember looking at your chart a while back, and I know you're a Pisces, but what I see with you with the Pisces is that you're really good at, you're able to evolve and adapt to the people that are around you. And that's a very Piscean trait, which is like kind of swimming through the water, and whoever they're with, they can like meld into that energy field. And I think I see that in you, in the sense that you can really get along with lots of different types of people.
Yeah, I be who I need to be in that moment for the people I'm with. Yeah,
exactly. And that is such a Pisces trait, to be able to morph in that sense. And then I also remember specifically you have a moon in Gemini, which I'm not sure how much you know about that. But when I found that out, I was like, that is magic, because you have the gift of the gab. Like, you can light up a room, you can chat to anyone. You're really able to hold conversation, and you're a speaker. So
yes,
it's perfect.
I feel very fortunate that I was given language. I didn't always use it. And I think that that will be my legacy, is how I tell stories, how I unite people, how I call people to a cause, and ultimately how I lead and create this planet as a slightly better place than the one that I found.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And also really like idealistic. Pisces is really like thinking about the future and like out there. And so legacy is such a big part of what you're creating, and what you've spent such a huge part of your life doing.
And it's also why I don't slow down, because I'm not done yet. And that's true to a Piscean, because we're never there. We never arrive. We're never done. Yeah.
Always
swimming. We just keep swimming.
Yeah. And just one last thing I want to talk about your particular astrology chart, which I remember, and we never got to talk about it, is that when I do readings, I look to the soul purpose, like what lessons we came to learn and what we're moving away from. And for you, you have a Cancer North Node, which really is about home and family. And I wanted to touch on that, because a lot of people who maybe don't know you that well see you as this, you know, entrepreneur, always on the go, busy, like so much going on. But home and family is such a big part of your life that is sacred to you in some ways, but also, you know, and I just wanted to touch on that, because when someone has a Cancer North Node, they've kind of come in with this innate desire to build something like foundations, business, money, authority, like create all this stuff which comes so naturally to you. And then we're moving towards this sense of real community and family. And I think you harness that really well.
And I feel very fortunate now that I have created enough that I get to choose where I spend my time. And so, and family is so important to me, and cooking is so important to me. Practicing veganism now as a moment, and in, yes, because that's about contribution to planet. And also still the wheat free, and part of that is discovering new foods and cooking, and then I'm sharing that with the people I love. And so and also I cook with my kids, and they're four adult children, and they come home for summer, two amazing weeks with them in the kitchen, falling all over each other, entertaining, three meals a day, and I'm in my happy place. I do get, you know, poor Stu though, who's occasionally, he's like, maybe we should just go out breakfast or something, and I'm like, but why? I can cook. And and then if ever we do, he goes, actually it's better at home, and I go, yep, see. So yes, we choose to be homebodies. We entertain so much at home. I created a hearth, the home that you came to. It's my hearth, it's my home, it's my safe place, but it's also the place that we entertain, include, and lots of energy and love in that house.
Yeah, no, it definitely, I mean, your house is very beautiful, and you could feel that energy, like it's created. You guys took a long time building that house, right? Lots of love went into that, and it was a long process, and now you get to really revel in it. Yeah, so I just wanted to highlight that because I think it's really cool because you've this big entrepreneur with these with this legacy and plan and helping people and wanting to connect, and then also there's such connection at home and then that nurturing side of you as well. And we spoke about Stu a little bit, but I actually wanted to bring up, so you love a quote. We know you love a quote, and your recent quote on your Instagram says, yeah, which I loved, it said, "A mind that is stretched by new experiences can never go back to its old dimensions." Yeah. And you said that each year you and Stu have a theme, mm-hmm, and it helps you make choices as how you're spending your time and energy. And I really, really loved that. And I just wanted you to go into that a little bit. And why does that quote pull up?
Yeah, it's really worked for us. Stu and I have known each other for almost a decade now. Like, it's not far from that. And I kind of reflect how, A, fortunate I am that he came into my life, but B, that it's as good as the day I met him. And, you know, we talk and talk and talk and talk. And that's what I'm looking for from a partner, is somebody who stretches my mind. He's so well read and he challenges me and he gives me insights and I read different things or we read together. So, you know, even the experience of true partnership stretches one's mind. And that's the experience of partnership and true intimacy and true trust. So but you know, with the world of opportunity available to us, sometimes we need to just choose. And coming up with a theme helps us navigate, also helps us make choices on behalf of each other. You know, should we do this? Could we do that? Where will we spend our time, our love, and most importantly, our energy? One year, our theme was simplicity. Everything was too complex, too much going on, trying to do too many things. So how do we make our life simpler? Really basic. Another one was creating home. That was the year that we moved into the house that we built together. It was just about homemaking. Last year was about playing outside the box. That was about doing things that we wouldn't usually do and we'd say yes rather than no. It was a pretty busy year in the end, but it was incredible the things that we did do. So we would go to a jazz festival or a concert in Angel Place with reggae singers from the Caribbean. You know, we just did things that we would usually never do, and that was really fun. But this year, our theme is playtime. It's just playing. And so we, you know, play games, and we often play games anyway, Bananagrams and Code Names, the two faves at the moment, which everybody loves because they're short, sharp and to the point, which is fantastic. But, you know, I'm painting a lot, and I'm just exploring new substrates and new colours and new textures. Stuart's doing models and he's also doing carpentry. So, yeah, we're playing and we're playing at cooking, we're playing at entertainment. And, you know, they say you get old not because you stop playing, but, you know, I need to find that quote, because the one about, no, you don't get old because you stop playing, you get old because you don't play or something. This a really lovely quote about that, and I'll find it. And that's the point, you know. I look at the two of us and we literally are still giggling like children, and how wonderful. I giggle in a way I haven't before, and as I said, I'm beginning to giggle like an old lady. It's becoming a cackle. Here it is.
I think that's so beautiful. Yeah, one of the questions I wanted to say was that I wanted to talk about love, because it's very clear that you're in it.
Yes.
And you say you guys have been together, what, a decade, did you say?
Nearly a decade. It's not quite, but, you know, coming up, it's not far from.
That's exciting. Yeah. And, you know, I'm such a romantic, and Pisces, because I have Pisces rising. And so Pisceans are really romantic, and they love a love story. And so, you know, you guys met later in life, you and Stu, and was it love at first sight? Like, how do you see fate kind of interweaving into how you guys came into each other's lives, or did you meet on Tinder?
I hate to say it, 10 years ago, I don't think there was Tinder, but imagine if we did.
That was a joke.
I don't think there was.
No.
That'd be great. No, we went on the other dating site, LinkedIn.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember the story now?
I do, but I would love you to tell it. And also, because you're so prolific on LinkedIn, did Stu slide into your LinkedIn DMs back in the day?
back in the day. Yeah, he did. So he had started his own business working in corporates for, and he works in risk and he works in, you know, harassment and all this sort of stuff. So he works in that, what one might say is the dark side of business. But often he would realize that they needed a recognition program. And so he had connected with me at a conference that I did for HR, so a speaking engagement. I have to be truthful, do not remember him. You know, I meet so many different people. We're connected on LinkedIn. And years later, he was trying to grow his business. He's like, maybe we could refer, he said. But what had happened, I'd separated, and a girlfriend of mine said to me, you know, you really need to get out there. And I go, I've been separated for 3 years, 3 months. I don't intend to ever date again. So it is fine. She goes, mate, slim pickings out there. Or she said something like, beggars can't be choosers. She said something like that. And I remember my PR person at the time said, you are not allowed to go on eHarmony or whatever the sites were. You're just not allowed. And I was like, oh my goodness, I just don't want to. Anyway, what I did was just literally start saying yes. And I have a lot of people inboxing me saying, can we meet for coffee? Would you give me advice? And then I went back to my girlfriend the next Sunday and I said, oh, I've been on 3 dates. And she said, oh, bullshit, I've been separated for 3 years. How can you possibly have been on 3 dates? And I said, oh, they didn't know they were on a date. I just started saying yes to all these coffees and things. And Stu was one of them. So I met him. We had a cup of tea at the end of the day. That turned into a drink and then it turned into dinner. This was in Melbourne. I had 2 events coming up in Melbourne, the Entrepreneur of the Year and the Telstra Business Awards, of which I was a judge. They went back to back black tie events in the same venue. And I said, hey, you know, how do you scrub a horse? I said something like that. You know, do you wear a tuxedo? He goes, yeah, sure, I'll come with you. And when we went to the first event, we sat down and he knew I didn't eat wheat. And literally, we sat down and he just swapped the entrees, you know, the salad for the wheat. And the guy across the road said, oh, clearly you two are the old married couple, be married forever. It was our first date. And we've been together ever since. We've never been apart since. It just was, and he lived in Melbourne, I lived in Sydney, and it just I don't know, it just was never big discussions. It's just, so yes, I was it love at first sight? I don't know, companionship at first sight. I knew a good friend when I saw one.
So, and yeah. Also, thank you for sharing that. But also in that story, it makes me think that, you know, yeah, you get lots of DMs from lots of different people. And you took the action though, like you actually acted on it. Like there was something there. Okay, I'm going to go out for a coffee with this person. And then it turned into something. And also you took the action to be like, do you want to come to the black tie? You know, you're stepping up there.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't, it was funny because I didn't think, it never occurred to me to do the right, or what's the right thing to do. I know that sounds funny, but you know how people are like, oh, I can't text yet, or I can't reach out or whatever. Never occurred to me. Like from that moment on, we talked every day, we talked all the time. Even now when I have meetings and or I meet somebody interesting or I watch something or I listen to something, oh, must tell Stu about that. You know what I mean? He's in my consciousness all the time. Oh, he'd like to know that. Oh, I must remember, you know. So it's really, and that's how I know that we're deeply connected, is because he's in my consciousness.
Mm, that's so beautiful. Yeah. And you can tell just even through your social media, I find that it's really easy to tell people who are in love and then people who are not, from the consciousness, like even a photo, you can see, I mean, maybe that's me because I can feel the energy of things, but it's very clear. And when I saw you guys together, it was the cutest thing ever. So hashtag goals.
But I guess it took being myself. Yeah. It took giving up anything to do with what looks right. And it was scary. What my point is, it was scary to think about dating again after being married for 20 years. Really scary. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do this. But then when I just adjusted to the, okay, if I stop putting a label on this and I stop telling myself what I should and shouldn't feel, I just was able to be with it. And I never thought, it never ever occurred to me, is this the one? It was just, I enjoyed every single moment from the moment I met him. So therefore it was a very relaxed and easy way to come into a relationship. Not, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one?
I also, what I hear there as well is that you're one to follow your gut. So as in you weren't questioning like, oh, should I? You were like, no, I'm feeling a certain way. I'm going to follow that feeling. And I think in business, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in order to get to where you are, you would have had to follow your instinct that whole time.
Yeah. Also, I guess one of the joys of running your own show is it's where you spend your energy with that too. Like, I just want to do business with people who I love, respect, honour, shared values, whether that be supply partners. You know, that's the joy. I think when you work in a corporation, you don't necessarily have the same choices that I've had now for more than 20 years in running my own businesses. And I feel very lucky that I can do that. Atlassian says a no dickhead policy, but I'm not so, I don't use that policy. I don't use that language, but it's what I mean.
You know? Oh my God. So because you've built up such a brand for yourself, and in order to get there, in order to get to the success, the level of success that you are, I mean, you have to be so focused and kind of sacrificial to some things along the way. So has there been moments where you felt like you've missed out on some things and you've, because your business came first, or how did you navigate that kind of like trying to balance things, but also have such distinct goals?
And I guess this is a point for me is when I'm in it, I don't experience anything else. I am myopic. I am so purpose driven, but it also delivers me a blindness and also a very thick skin. And so this blindness has also served me. So often I don't realize what I'm missing out on or the times that I didn't have, but also running my own business. I was very present in my kids' lives as they were growing up, and they're both successful adults, you know, living their own lives, doing their own things. So, you know, maybe I definitely didn't overparent. In fact, my daughter would say things like, "Mum, where's my school uniform?" I go, "Wherever you left it," you know, and they kind of had to bring themselves up a bit, and I don't think that hurt. But I was there when I needed to be there. I was at the events I needed to be at. So maybe I missed out on some things, but also maybe they're very self-sufficient because of it. I invest greatly in my friendships. Friendships are very important to me, as is the extended family. You know, my parents and Stuart's parents and our siblings, you know, that's important to me. To your point about creating home, it's my extended family too, not just our four kids.
And because you're so busy, and I just wonder how, because this is called Soul in the City, the podcast, I like to ask people, because I'm interviewing people that are living, you know, a pretty busy life and they've got a lot going on. And it's important to be connected to yourself. I call it soul. Other people can call it anything, whether it's a God, whatever God they you know, look to, or the universe or source energy or whatever it is. How do you connect to yourself? Like, do you have daily rituals? Do you have something that you do before you get up? Or I know you're into yoga. So tell me what you do in order to set up your mindset, perhaps, or, you know, how does that work for you?
I'm not as, when I was in an unhappy marriage, I was very into writing 3 points of gratitude before I went to sleep. I was very clear about what are the 3 things I need to get done today. But now that I'm in a loving relationship, I'm far happier with who I am and my contribution. And I don't feel I have to protect myself in the same way. So gratitude will come innately. So this morning I was on the ferry and I just looked at the harbour after this most dramatic thunderstorm that we had last night, like incredible thunderstorm. And then we wake up to this brilliant sunshine and blueness, and I can't help but be grateful for it. So instead of kind of having to be driven by this is the time I do gratitude because I was feeling under siege in so many different ways, it has become actually it's just the way I live now, including choices about what I'm eating. That's about, they're far more powerful. So I would argue, sure, I still set up my day with routines, but that's that that's just a habit rather than I'm setting up my day. Sure, I wake up every morning. I have my, you know, magnesiums and the my herbs and potions that I take and do a walk with the dog and do my yoga and have a, you know, healthy breakfast and all those sorts of things. But that's now routine rather than ritual to set up my day. Yeah. I think also the older they get, you get, you just stop worrying about the small shit. I just don't care anymore. I don't care about anything.
I saw, you know, you touched on that you're doing the vegan thing right now. And a lot of people will probably be wondering, because you're in great shape. I saw a recent bikini shot on your Instagram. And
not bad for an old chick.
not bad at all. And so tell us your secrets. Like, how do you stay fit?
Yeah, so one of the things is I think one is we've got to you know, this whole thing about body image really bothers me. I was given a gift that I'm tall. I was given a gift that I have good bones, but actually we've all got good bones. And so therefore, for me, the number one thing, especially as I age, and as you know, I've got a birthday on Saturday. So, you know, somebody said to me last night, they said, how is it possible that you've got two adult children? And I said, yeah, now I'm going to have to start lying about my kids' age as well as my own. People have no idea how old I am. You know, not bad for 70, just saying. So I guess one is I don't see age as a label, and maybe it's because I have got to a certain point of accomplishment in my life. So what do I do to look after myself? One of the reasons for doing this veganism is it's about being aware of what I put in my mouth. Because I go to so many events, like last night I was at Government House, there was all this lovely, rich party food. There was all of this alcohol, and all I did was drink water. The reason being is because it's about conscious choice. So much of what we do is out of habit rather than making a powerful choice about who you want to be. And it's not to say that I won't eat that party food, but is this where I want to have my party food, or is it where I have my party at my party, which is on Saturday, which is not really, it's a dinner party, but you know what I mean? So I guess because we live this life of so much available food and drink, and every event I go to, they make such an event. I just want it to be more powerful with the choices for my own body. Whether it's sustainable, I've only done it since the 2nd of January. I didn't think that I would do it for as long as I have. But while it works for me, I'll just do it. I don't want to set myself up for failure and never have some fish or something. Or maybe at some point I will need to have some B12 and omega-3s in a different sort of way. But right now it's working for me. So
yeah. I love that. I love how you're really open to different, I don't like the word diet, but, you know, different ways of consuming and different
consciousness. And honestly, we do so many things without conscious thought. Mm-hmm. Like consciously, who are the friends I want to spend a lot of time with? Consciously, really not, you know, let's catch up for a drink. Let's go for a walk with the dogs instead. You know, so I do walk, you know, I walk a lot. I walk more as a consideration, you know, lots of water, all of those things. I also do that. I fast on a Monday, and the reason why I fast on a Monday is also about the appreciation of food and just not, I don't know, food tastes so much better. Not drinking alcohol just right now, I know I will go back to it. So yeah, it's just, and if I don't have this moment in time of setting myself up for the year, kind of every year just rolls into each other. My job is to end the year at the same kind of body weight as I was when I started, and then I know I stay healthy.
That's a really good goal. And I think with you, what's really fascinating, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because obviously you live in Sydney, there's lots of plastic surgery faces walking around, and you have a beautiful, natural, sparkly face.
You know this because we used to work together, that I am absolutely under no circumstances is anybody to Photoshop any of my lines out of my face. I earned every single one of these lines of wisdom. They might be laugh lines, they might be frown lines, but you know what? I am who I am, and I want to be a role model and just say it's okay to get old. It's absolutely okay. And then you could say, well, why do you dye your hair and why do you do this, that, and the other thing? But no, I don't know. And maybe it's because I'm loved. I feel very grateful for the gifts that I was given, and I just am who I am. So I don't mind my lines.
No, your lines are amazing. And I think people look to you as a role model for someone who is just being them, and like, it's okay to age gracefully, beautifully, like you do it so well. I think for younger, you know, with the Kardashians and a lot of the younger generation, it's just so normal to get lip fillers or to get cheek fillers or whatever else is going on. And I think people need more strength in themselves and, you know, I'm not perfect, but I think that you are a great role model for being who you are and okay with what's going on with your face. Again, you do have a pretty good face, Naomi. Like, not everyone.
Oh, good bones. Good parents, perhaps. Good genes. But also, I had really great role models. So if you think about who, role models, and maybe it's because I can see myself in them. So Anne Sherry, a wonderful business leader. Carol Schwartz, incredible business leader. Lindsay Cattermole, amazing business leader. So these are women who are very accomplished, great leaders. They're not off getting Botox and bits and bobs. And so who I want to be for our community and who I am for our community is leadership. So it doesn't occur to me that I need those things, the cosmetic things to be leader. However, I make the most of the gifts that I have. And, you know, I never wore anything other than a natural lipstick until I did Shark Tank. And I was introduced to the red lip and now can't go without it, as you know. Love my red lip. So, you know, there you go. Yeah,
you love your red lip. I wore my red lip for you today. Every day I worked for you, I wore a red lip.
I know. I know. But was that because just in case you needed to give me a backup plan if I'd lost it or, you know, because that's the other side to me.
Speaking of Shark Tank, obviously, like, I spent 2 seasons with you when you were doing Shark Tank. And I kind of felt like the content person and also your stylist taking lots of pictures of you. I did a couple of Insta stories yesterday. When I was working for you, my whole phone was just pictures of Naomi. So I had a couple of old pictures of us together and I put some up. But yeah, it was so funny because, you know, every day was a bit of a fashion statement for you, which I loved. You'd come in, you take pride in your appearance. You love a blow wave, which I love that about you. I have a moon in Leo, so I love hair and manes, and you know that you always look amazing. Do you think that people project onto you? Like, do you, when you meet people in the street, are people projecting onto you what they want or think of you, or do you get, what's your feedback in the streets?
It varies. It really varies. So one is, I learned a long time ago, I dress for others, not for myself. I really can't see what I wear, but and as you know, the red is a uniform because it makes it easy for me in the public domain. If I'm wearing my red, if I'm wearing something lovely, I feel good about myself. But people are like, oh, that's her. And it kind of puts them into a state of ease because that's an expectation. In fact, anytime, and you know this, on the weekends, if I bump into people and I'm wearing jeans, got my hair in a ponytail and no makeup, they're like, oh, you all right? Got to check in with me. If I rush into the office and I'm not, is Naomi okay? Does she still love the brands? You know, all of that sort of thing. So that's the one thing. You know, it's such a variety of what, it's funny because people just somehow think I know them because they think they know me. And I think that's the funniest thing, that after a speaking engagement or whatever, they come up to me and they will tell me the most intimate things, or they would tell me things about their life and their personal thing that I'm sure they don't open up to others. And I have had some incredible experiences. I was sitting in a hotel I was at a conference. I was having breakfast. And I'm really, I really sometimes in my room because I'm like, oh, I don't want to, I just need time to myself. That's okay. As you know, I'm actually a bit of, you know, I don't always go out, as you know. So anyway, I just happened to go there and this man said, came up to me and said, oh, Naomi. Oh, you're Naomi Simpson. I said, yes. And he sat down. And he said, oh, can I sit down? I go, good, imagine what I thought. I go, oh, my God, here we go. But that's okay. Anyway, for some reason, within 3 minutes, he said, my father's just passed away last week and I'm really struggling. And then he said, and my son's best friend was in palliative care for only a week and he passed away. And his other best friend has been in a motorbike accident. You see, I didn't know in that moment he actually just needed someone. And I was a familiar face. And I had read Lee Sale's book, Any Ordinary Day. And it gave me the tools to be able to be with his grief, to be able to be there and just say, that's really shit. And he goes, yeah. And I said, I guess people are giving you platitudes, you know, things come in threes. He goes, yeah, they are. And I said, and that hurts even more, doesn't it? And he goes, you're exactly right. So I was able to be with his grief and just support him by allowing him to get it off his chest. So you see, if you're in the public domain, you never know the role you're going to play to others. So I got an email yesterday from somebody in the US who said, thank you so much for giving a list on your blog of the animal shelters that need help. He said, I've trolled the internet looking for Facebook pages and everything, but actually I just needed to know how to make a donation and to learn about these. And he had been donating American dollars to these seven small organizations. Often I never know the impact that I have for strangers, but a bit like me, that I have my role models and my heroes and the people that I believe in, that is who I can be for others. And so, yeah, I feel very fortunate that I can help people and support them in a way that without taking on their pains or their whatever.
Yeah, because Pisces are known not to have boundaries as well because they can swim all over the ocean. So sometimes it's important to be able to be there, super empathetic, but it's important to create, even if it's energetic boundaries, if you're, you know, not to harbour other people's emotions, of course.
Oh, and I learned that a long time ago. I think I told you this when we were working together, that one of the things that I do to protect myself is when I'm speaking, I wear a gold cylinder around myself, which means I project love, I project shine, I project glistening, but I have a hard core to protect my soul, speaking of soul. So in other words, I can give, I can reflect energy, but actually because I was giving too much for a long time. I was giving and feeling everybody's pain when actually it that was unsustainable. So I had to grow into. And it's not wearing an armor. It's about how I be there for them to reflect that rather than to own it. That took a evolution.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Everyone has their own little ways of energetically protecting themselves, and I love that.
But it's a consciousness too. And I suspect that a little bit, for a long time, I didn't think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And what one thing I've learned in my 34 years on this planet is that intention really is everything. So, and that comes down to mindset as well, as in like whatever you do, the intent that is behind it is what's going to come back as well. So for you on stage projecting love, ideally that's what's coming back and that's what they're going to feel from you.
Yeah, and authentically, just being myself and being okay if I make mistakes, it's absolutely fine.
I wanted to touch on the fact because to get to where you are, you have to have tenacity. However, I also know that you're a sensitive soul on the inside. Pisceans are always sensitive. So how do you deal with that in business when you need to make hard decisions, but it like between personal and business and really, how does that work for you? Because it's hard sometimes.
Well,
personally, or
it's in as a lady, you can't wear your heart in the sleeve. It just doesn't work. Being vulnerable is different than wearing your heart on the sleeve. Being your authentic self is different. Is different than being an emotional roller coaster. But as you know, I work in a partnership, and my business partner has all the strengths that I don't have, and I also have strengths that he doesn't have. And actually, we make an incredible team. And the way that we've grown this enterprise in the last 3 years is incredible. So, yeah, I am very aware of my non-strengths, and I call on my partnership and the leaders around me to fill those gaps.
It's interesting, when I started working for you, I remember we had to do the Gallup strengths test.
Yeah.
And I think like 3 out of the top 5, you and I had the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Positivity.
Well, I don't have woo. I think it was Luke and I. Sorry, my bad. That was Luke and I. but for you, yours was woo. You and I were similar in our colors and how far out they went. I remember that. I wanted to also ask, how do you put a game face on when you're not feeling the best? Because no one's positive the whole time. So how do you deal with that on the days that you don't feel like showing up?
Yeah. I feel for my husband at this point. He gets all the, I don't want to do this today. And then I call on where I need to go and what the future is. And I am not my thoughts and feelings. I know myself to be bigger than, sometimes I just want to stay home. Do I really have to do this? But then we remind ourselves that, it's easy to play small. And Stuart does challenge me to greatness when I don't want to be. And we all need someone, and usually someone outside the family, to challenge us to greatness, to be the person we said we were going to be. And so I just need people to remind me of that. And I feel fortunate I have people to do that for me.
One of the things I learned from you, well, there was obviously so many, but two massive things as like a business owner sitting next to you, just seeing how you deal with things on a daily basis, very simple things, but very effective. What I thought, first thing was, I think one of the values was say it, do it. I don't know if that's still a value. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is something that you do. Whatever you say you're going to do, you do it.
Yeah. I don't let people down. If I put my words to something, it's done.
Yeah. And that's something I'm learning, because everybody's, we're all yes people to everybody else, but it's like the follow through is what counts and what matters and what takes you further. And that's something I really learned from you.
You can surprise and delight people by just doing what you said.
It's so simple, but everyone's all talk, no action. You know what I mean? And the other thing, it just on a really tactical business level, day to day, is that you email block. And tell me if you still do this. It's like you sit down and you're like, I'm going through my emails now, rather than being distracted by, oh, this email came in and it's really important. It's like you have a set timetable blocked out for when you're going to do your emails.
Yeah, and I basically still do the same. I, as I said to you, I'm my own EA now, which I kind of like. So I just flag all the things that are requiring an appointment and I do them all at once. Though I did like the software you were using. I took a note of that for booking in this appointment.
Oh, yeah, it's fab, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm like, can we connect that to our systems? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I do, and I still set aside, Friday is my writing day, and all of that. And even though it doesn't always work out, knowing that I have a plan to getting things done really kind of works for me.
Amazing. So I put it to Instagram to see if anyone had any questions for you. So I just want to ask you a couple of little questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Let me find. Okay. So someone has asked, because obviously you're coming on my podcast and these people know me and they know that I'm really into spirituality. So they're suspecting that you may be a little bit too, because I've asked you to be on as my Pisces guest. So they said, how do you go when other skeptics, like perhaps your peers, given you're a big wig, that's what the word that was used, and bigwigs aren't often into the woo. And that's an assumption. But she's like, how do you go? Do you ever talk about it with your colleagues or peers, or is it more of a private thing for you?
If it comes up in conversation, it's not that I hide it. Everyone knew on Monday that Mercury was in retrograde. You know, we all have a giggle. I don't really, it doesn't really bother me. Seriously, I'm so just myself. And, you know, if David doesn't, if he thinks I'm well, I don't care. I mean, honestly, I'm just of the age, I really don't care. It's like saying, oh, you know, I don't like cavoodles. I prefer this. Okay, so whatever, that's your preference. So it really doesn't matter to me. Okay. Yeah, I just bother me.
And then another one.
I guess it also comes back to respect. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions. As long as they realise it's their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. And then there was another one that asked just some simple tips for women starting out in their careers who strive to be as successful as you are.
You know, I did that one, three things that young women should know when they're starting their careers. One is to speak up. You're there for a reason. But also brevity. Oh my goodness. It still does my head in and you know this. Why? Don't write me a long email. Write me a short one. Get to the point. Don't give me the rambling argument. Say, I want X. Here's the three reasons why. Help me out here. So be in the world of the other person. So you do speak up, but don't speak at length. Get to the point. You do that. I think, you know, there's two little tips no matter what business that you're in.
I think if I may say so, I think that you liked that about me, that I'm very to the point and I would just cut to the chase.
I know. Yeah. And yes, absolutely. It's, come on, we're all grown ups here.
Yeah. Yeah, because I see so many people writing so many long emails. And for me, I think it's because I had that law background. I just cut to the chase. I'm like, this is what we need.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, amazing. So, okay, last few things is just what's coming up for you? You said you don't want to slow down, or you don't see yourself slowing down. And do you have any big goals, bucket list stuff? I mean, you've done some crazy, amazing things. You went to Mongolia when I was there. I mean, what else is coming
up? We went to Arnhem Land last year and we went to Alaska this year. We've booked to go to Chile. Next year we're going to go to Africa. I'm doing a world tour with my parents, which will take me to from Iceland to all over the place. So travel is one thing, but the other thing is about how do I extend my circles in terms of my sphere of influence. So I'm hosting a leadership tour to Silicon Valley at the end of March on the future of work, and I'll be producing a white paper of what we discover and start doing boardroom briefings. Because really the 35 women that I'm going with, they're all still on boards and it's up to us to create what we want in Australia, the future of work to look like. We don't want it to happen to us. We want to participate in the conversation. So that's one thing that I'm doing as a leader this year, is really getting that. And given that we have AI, you know, Albert within our organization, and AI is part of what we believe, but what does that mean? And so I want to really drive that conversation for the good of our community and our whole community. So one of the reasons I'm doing the Lenovo program is because this is about regional and rural businesses being mentored in the bush. So that's why I'm doing that. Like, everything has a reason that I do, which is about extending the voice, leadership, insight, you know, and what we were doing together, which was all around education. I'm just doing it in slightly different ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I noticed Red Balloon had the big hot air balloon, the red balloon.
That was David and my surprise gift to our leaders. So we just decided to, you know, come on, I've had business for 20 years. It's about time I owned a balloon. And it's so beautiful. It's so much fun. That partner's been with us for nearly 20 years. When I first started working with him, he had one balloon and took 700 passengers a year. Now he's got 19 balloons and takes 23,000 passengers a year, which has such a big impact to the Hunter Valley around all the people spend elsewhere. So this is people, what people don't understand about our business model. We're merely a conduit of providing customers throughout Australia to all of these businesses. And never more than right now, we need to do that. We lost 53 of our suppliers lost their livelihoods over the summer. 248 of our experiences are in areas where people aren't travelling to or going to. We have a real responsibility to our partners. In fact, across the board, also with smoke in the Eastern Seaboard, our supply community is down. So we have a real responsibility to make sure we make our supply partners commercially successful. And I'll be doing a lot this year in that space to get them to be successful. It's not just about giving them a handout. It's about sending customers continuously and on a long-term basis. So yeah, lots of work to be done.
Yeah, I love that. And that's one thing that people sometimes don't realize when they look at a big company is that how the trickle down effect is that you're kind of helping all these individual small businesses on the grassroots level as well.
You know, probably because of the work we do here, we've created tens of thousands of jobs over the, tens of thousands, if not more, over the 20 years. And people don't realize that throughout the whole of Australia. People just don't really realize that.
Yeah, it's such an impact. Amazing. So thank you so much for being here with me. It was so good to catch up. And yeah, of course, I wanted you as one of my first podcast guests because working for you was a real energy vortex and kind of
stepping. I laugh at you saying working for me because I thought we were
working together.
I'm pretty sure I was working for you sometimes.
That is true. I would be directing you. I felt like the no guy. You know how everyone talks about yes people? I feel like I was the no guy because you were this like vortex of energy coming into the office with 25 billion ideas, true entrepreneur style. And I'd be like distilling them and like, okay, that's going in the no pile. That all these are going in the yes, but this is the priority and we can only reality do this one in this way. So I felt like it was a good little partnership we had there.
It was.
I was the detail and you were the big vision.
Or the devil, one or the other.
Oh my God. Well, I just think like being around you was really, it kind of drove me to look within also and to actually follow the steps towards my own purpose, which is what I'm, you know, living now. And it's exciting for me. And I just really appreciate you taking your time because I, out of everybody, know how busy you are. And I just think that we have a special connection. I feel like I was meant to come into your realm for that moment in time. And I think that we'll stay connected.
Of course we will. I completely agree with you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can join the party with me on Insta at Catherine_Gillies or check out my offerings at CatherineGillies.com. And if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you hit subscribe and share the love by sending on the episode to any friends or fam who you think might enjoy it. You're the best.